Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, I think we should start now. There are two things that are going to happen. One is that either three things. One is either that the meeting will be short. Two is either that it will be long. Three, which would be an ideal situation, is that it will be moderate and medium. For us, it's just to report back. I've just been informed that there are people from the DTI. There's no one else who's coming. No, because I've heard for us that live here in Cape Town that people cannot land this morning. So they redirected flights to George.
So,
if it's too misty, always, you must check this time. By the end of April every year, we have these challenges. Planes cannot take off and land. In the morning, it was too misty. So I think the regulation says 50 meters, if the pilots cannot see the tarmac, they cannot land. So they'll be having a nice bus drive from George to Cape Town, and sightseeing. So, but they will join us when they come. I'm happy that most of the stakeholders attended and shown the interest. To us, it strengthens public participation. We'll give you an opportunity if you want to say a word as stakeholders or two, we'll be free to that. But the committee will also say what it wants to say, which is also quite reasonable. I was under the impression that Mr. Nitin Tenja will be coming, so you'll have to introduce someone from the DTI, because last time DTI didn't own the report, it had been submitted to them. So we need to get clarity from DTI. Saroj, whether they own now the report, and they finalize the report, and who's coming to respond to our input.
Yes, I'm Nkwati Mashamaite. I'm a deputy director responsible for gambling at the DTI. In the absence of Mr. Nkitenje, I will be the one that responds.
Okay. You know where I come from, in KwaZulu Natal, a deputy, you call in Zulu a second. You know, someone that holds someone, we interpret it as you hold something so that it doesn't fall. You know, you deputize. But one leader in KwaZulu Natal said, "Who said I'm falling? I don't want a deputy." So we'll start with our input. We have got two issues to deal with as a committee. It is this report, and then we are supposed to welcome. We're supposed to deal with our own minutes. So once we're done with the report, you'll be free to leave us, because there are minutes that we have to deal with. But if you feel you want to join us in approving those minutes, you are welcome. Let's continue. Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Tumsani Kamet, as chair of this committee. We'll introduce ourselves from my left, so just around the table, and then we'll start by members giving input.
Good morning. My name is Kupega Mtilini. I'm the committee secretary.
Morning, Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Yeah. Morning, Bafnani Mguni, Free State.
Masa Badihali, Limpopo Province.
Morning, Jomo Nyambi, Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, I'm Elsa van Lingen from the Eastern Cape. I'm the chairperson of the National Gambling Board.
Good morning, Charles Lurie from the Casino Association of South Africa.
Good morning, Jo Nicola, Priority Consulting.
Good morning, Tyron Dobbin, NetBet.
Good morning, Adira Bodasing, Polarity Consulting.
Morning, Mwikete Lebote, the DTI.
Morning, Tulfe Loshane, DTI.
Morning, Ngwazi Mashamaite, the DTI.
Suraj Schneider, DTI.
Morning, Ismail Hussain, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, Zulivan Zimaslela.
Morning, Zulivan Zimaslela, Content Advisor for the Select Committee.
Thanks very much. Honorable members, we do have something in writing, but those that want to add, there are a few additions. I've been informed on what we want to report on. I know, Honorable Van Lingen, I'll give you also an opportunity, should you want to say something.
Thank you, Chairperson. Are you saying that I may speak now, or must I wait for my time to come?
You can speak now.
Thank you. Thank you. When one looks at this report, I think one must look at a couple of aspects that needs to be addressed in the whole picture. One must understand that if you read through all this, it is not legalized gambling that's really causing the problem. The problem only comes afterwards, and that's when the money goes into government and the government might be not spending it properly. But that was just a little pre-election stab, Chairperson. Let's just talk about the illegal gambling in South Africa. And there are, I would say, 2.5. The illegal gambling in Shabing, and what is being done there. Now, I believe that the responsible gambling group has been granted funds for 5 reports. And I don't know whether we must foresee these reports before we can make a final opinion. So I've now said we must see the reports. We also need to know what the status is of where we are going with this document. Are we now taking it and we're taking it to the provinces now, or are we waiting for those reports? Where are we going in the process? And that's probably what I should have started with. Now, the lifespan of these licenses is a little bit of a concern, because initially when the licenses were issued, and I think only in the case of the Eastern Cape there's one that had a time limit on. But for the rest, the perception was given that you have a license and you have a license. It can be taken away from you if you operate illegally and irregularly. You can be closed down. Now, the appeal that it must be done every 5 years does not make sense to me at all, because if you go that way, how would you make a grand investment, a huge financial investment, only to lose your license or potentially lose your license after 5 years? Why not go for 10 or 15 years and then regulate it from there? But remember, the initial licenses were given, poof, there was no time limit on them. So there will be legal implications should that be changed. Then, just in case there's a fear that there's no BBBE participation, it's probably the industry that is the most transformed of all the industries. If we want to talk about the CSI, I want to say say that a fair amount is being granted at the moment, but that we must look, we must allow the industry to do what they are doing, and they are spending their money on education and sport, which to me are two very healthy categories to spend your CSI on. When it comes to responsible gambling, I think my recommendation would be that the lotto must contribute their share of responsible gambling to this one, the national one, rather than their own one, so that we know things are happening. Online gambling is the other illegal gambling at the moment, and I think that we must legalize it and then regulate it and do the draft amendments to the bill and get on with it. The problem normally comes with implementation. If we do not implement, we lose the battle. So we must implement and maintain what is there. Online gambling, we cannot steer away from. It is happening in South Africa. And we could look at various options of how to get the industry offline. And I know it might be putting the cart before the horse because we haven't even legalized it, but we must look in terms of established licensees in the industry to start with. Because if you give it to the land-based institutions or establishments, you then sit with 40 licensees or 36, as the case may be. They know the industry. They are over-regulated, and I want to come back to over-regulation. They are over-regulated, so they know there's a stick. If they misbehave, they will be kicked out of the business and they will lose a bigger business. Then they have the experience and the client knowledge. And if they are irresponsible, as I said, they will lose their licenses. I just want to come back to over-regulation. South Africa's gambling industry is 40 times smaller than that of the UK, and it's 10 times more regulated than that of the UK. So we must just keep that in mind. We mustn't just over-regulate and kill the businesses. In other words, to come back to those the period of license, we mustn't make the period too short because it does not make sound business sense. I think I've spoken on the five reports. Then when it comes to the adverts, on my oversight week this last week in the province, I visited the casino in Queenstown, and I drove through Queenstown, and the advertising is absolutely limited. And anything and everything, that every advert that goes out is censored. Nothing delicious can go out to solicit business. So I think that we mustn't expand on the advertising regulations. When it comes to, I want to go back to illegal gambling, all the shebeens and places that run slot machines, they have machines. Where do those machines come from? And my concern is somebody is feeding on the system and the illegality of it. Are these machines being destroyed as they come into the country, or is it somebody in the country that's passing them on? So I think that should be tightened up. When we come out to the limited payout machines and ETBs, now the gambling board has given licenses for bingo in KZN and Gauteng and the Eastern Cape, and it is in a shopping mall. And it works like a slot machine. And it looks like one. And it is not in a closed off shaded entrance. It is open and it's public. So what I'm trying to tell you is that that regulation that a casino must be behind doors that you can't see through and you mustn't see who's gambling when you get to the front. Yeah, you can go and play on an EBT and it's a slot machine. It's nothing other than a slot machine. So if you go to a place where those places are and you say, where can I play bingo? Or where can I play bingo? They say, no, we don't know. And you explain and they say, oh, the casino, it's just around the corner. And that is the slot machine or the slot machine shop. Now that shop is a shop is a shop. And it's considered a business. So I'm very concerned about that. And it's got no lifespan and it's got no, like the proper casino licenses. Poker, I would like to say that it must be restrict the licensing authority to the provincial gaming board. Please don't give it to the municipalities. Please. I see there you can ask for an occasional license from the municipality. Never, never. Don't overcomplicate matters. Don't delegate powers. In each province, by the sounds of it, the provincial gambling boards are doing what they're supposed to doing, and they are very strict. Limited payout machines. There's a thing here that they want to limit the seats in a particular center or casino. Now, you know what? Supply and demand calls for it. You will not have, because Queenstown is the smallest casino. If you have 500 seats there, it will not work. But if you have 500 seats at Grand West and it works because the feet are there. So to limit is over-regulating. The market will determine what makes sense and what doesn't. And then what I do not understand is for this commission who recommends, now I must explain it nicely. On the one hand, they want to regulate the industry, and on the other hand, they want to let loose on the industry, and they want to regulate that other machines with higher payouts must come, and it's a completely new category, so it confuses me a little bit. Chairperson, Then, when one looks at what casinos pay towards tax, if we limit the gambling industry in South Africa too much, we limit government revenue. And we must understand that. When certain things are regulated properly, it works. And I think our gambling industry is reasonably well regulated. And I think we must leave it at that. I also think that the lotto is a form of gambling and it must be treated and addressed as such. And we must bring the lotto people in front of this committee again, Chairperson, so that it can be addressed. And I just want to say, I do not see the difference between a horse and a hound. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Van Lingheng. Any other member that wants to say something? Honourable Sinclair, we've heard about the horse and the hound. Let's hear what you have.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I don't want to speak too much about the detail. I think it's necessary that we must focus on the processes and what this review wants to achieve. Now, if you look at the report, and once again, I must say thank you to the researchers. I think it's a very good document. it elevates certain crucial issues that must be addressed in reviewing the whole industry and fulfilling the mandate of the commission. Now, this commission's work has been long overdue, and I think there's a lot of pressure from the department and the ministry to finalize this. But the first issue that I want to raise, Chairperson, is the issue about consultations. In our report, for instance, it says that provinces engage with report and conduct stakeholder consultations. Conclusions and decisions taken, therefore, were then communicated via the committee members. I can't remember that happened. So, in terms of consultation, you know, the Constitutional Court has got very, very strong feelings about that whole process of consultation. So that is the first issue that I want to raise. Linked to that, Chair, is the issue about the MINMAC. Now, although the MINMAC, in terms of my understanding, is an informal gathering of role players, if you like, they certainly has got a role to play, a function to fulfill. And if you look at our report, it says that MINMAC meetings have consistently failed to cooperate. So certainly they must also have a specific function in this whole process in terms of consultation. Now, once again, in terms of process or procedure, I think there's a serious downfall there, Chair. Yeah, and then, Chair, the whole issue about the concurrent functions in terms of the Constitution. I think part of the intention of the review is to propose certain legislative frameworks to make it rather simpler than more comprehensive and confusing, if you like, as it is. Now, the concurrent functions in the Constitution, where provinces has got a specific mandate, the national got a specific mandate, further confuse the matter. And I think the intention of this review must be to very precisely deal with the issue about the concurrent functions as stipulated in, I think, Schedule 9 of the Constitution. Then, Chair, there's other issues in terms of the detail. Previously, I raised the issue about the online activities. I don't know how any guidelines or any legislation in the modern times of globalization and even in the South African realm will address those issues. I honestly don't know how you can get the legislative framework to do that, to cut gambling online to small little pieces and chunks that you can manage. I think it's almost impossible. So that is the big issue that I think that at the moment we need clarity on. So from our side, Chair, that is the input. In general, I think it's necessary, but in terms of the processes and procedures, I think there's serious shortfalls.
Thanks. Any other contribution? In the absence of any, both members that have commented have actually touched on the issue that we as a committee, the issue of over-regulation has been touched on, the issue of online gambling, you'll see the copy of the report that we'll give it has been touched on. There's also the issue of social responsibility or rehabilitation. That is the strong feeling that it should be a prerequisite in granting a license. Now it's about animal racing, and it's also about over-regulating, that there has to be a minimal standard set at national level dealing with animal welfare, treatment of animals and related matters. So all these racing, greyhound, horse, dog, cock,
require a common regulation across all animals. Online gambling has been touched on. There is a challenge, we admit. Coincidentally, the Minister of Police did attend a Heads of Mission conference in Pretoria. And one of the things which the committee attended, he raised, was the issue of cyber action, internet, and how difficult it is to police that. That firstly, we need the skills. So there needs to be a thorough consultation. Whilst DTI would issue a license, DTI won't have the capacity to monitor and police that. So SAPS needs to be involved big time on online gambling or internet gambling. Whereas then it takes some time for SAPS to acquire the skills. There is also a comment, support from this committee that the amalgamation of the NLP and LLD FT might be premature. That's a feeling that we also have, that where we support comments from the portfolio committee. So it might not be really an ideal situation. So in short, these are some of the comments and additions that we have. At least we have one former commissioner present. I would also use that head when commenting. So I'll first give to the DTI to comment on issues that have been raised. And then the stakeholders. Oh, Honorable, there's one piece you forgot.
Yes, Jason, I want to add on to what you're saying about online gambling with SAPS and the lack of skills. Now, where do we have the most SAPS or policemen? On the ground. They can't even manage illegal gambling where it is taking place the most. So that is a very big issue. Thank you for raising it.
DTI, if you want to comment, after your comments, all stakeholders are free to comment, whether in support or what, on anything. DTI.
First I would like also to offer clarity on the issue of MINMEC. The one that is envisaged in the report is actually provided for in the legislation, that there should be at least two meetings that minister and MECs responsible for gambling will hold per year to address issues of policy, because that is a body that is meant to ensure concurrent jurisdiction is addressed. There are no issues that needs to be aligned, which will be passed and the nation does not know about. So the main purpose of that body is actually to ensure that purpose. So that is where we have actually been encountering problems of having quorum, although it is provided for in the legislation. Because the DTI now at this stage or on the report, we, as indicated before, have not made the stances yet. And we actually waiting for the two reports, the one from the portfolio committee and the one from this committee, to be consolidated. Then we will actually come with a single report to address the concerns. So it will be appreciated if the concerns that are raised here will be consolidated in one document, and then we will then deal with it at that stage. Thanks.
Any other stakeholder that wants to say something?
Thank you so much.
And then we'll come up if there's someone who wants.
As chairperson of the National Gambling Board, you would appreciate we've worked quite closely with, I think, DTI on a number of matters which... But just in... I want to say we've obviously worked quite closely with DTI on what has come out of the GRC report, and we are awaiting, I think, the proposals. But I think for clarification, I want to just clarify, first of all, the limited payout machines, and just that within the context of the industry, that in terms of the Act, its provinces have the right to license up to five, and it must be linked as a secondary business, linked to a primary business, which must, whatever the primary business would be, with some specific conditions attached to it, obviously. But that's the primary business, so you would have a pub, and then they would get would apply for up to five machines, and you would see across the country where provinces has licensed such places, it could range from three to five, and whatever would be required that's linked to the primary business. So those are obviously legal, and they make sure that it protects adults, and it must comply with everything around ensuring that no minors are allowed into those spaces. So it's very, very tightly regulated around it. But also linked to it is obviously what has happened is many of the businesses, which were primary businesses, came into the mainstream of being registered, because you can't even begin to apply for a gambling license if you're not legal and you're not compliant in terms of VAT and tax and all of the things. So the benefit of that has been that it brought many small businesses that has operated in all of the provinces into the mainstream, but maximum up to five. The second thing, so I just wanted to clarify that. The second thing I wanted to clarify is that currently the Act was not specific about bingo, and so EBTs came post the 2004 Act. And so what we've seen is that in terms of the National Policy Council framework, which is the place where the minister with the MECs gather, there's currently a moratorium on that. That's in terms of the, I almost want to say, in the level of, at a strategic level. So as the National Gambling Board, in consultation with all of the other provinces as well as with DTI, we've developed a national framework because the problem with EBTs in the way they've sprung up is that there has been no national regulation. It was, provinces obviously used their legislation to legalize that, but it didn't fit a national framework. We've developed a national framework, we've done some research on it, said that clearly just in the same way as we had a limited number for casinos, we can't just ad hoc go and license bingo halls anywhere without particular prerequisites and the national framework. So what we're asking is that we've developed the national framework with proposed numbers. Obviously, that must be consulted with, and we're not making the law about it, but as part of, as a response out of this GRC report, that is a matter we think must be getting attention. So that in the same way as with casinos has limits, bingos must have limits, and the numbers of seats and links to that must also be limited. So we've developed a document, I've done research on that matter. I think the third matter, I think you're correct around from the word go, when gambling became legalized in this country, the license conditions, even though there wasn't at that stage anything around the BBBEE Act, the license conditions were clear around social requirements, specific commitments, and that's within the license conditions. So they can't renegade on that, and they must comply. However, in consultation also obviously with the industry is about being compliant also with the BBBEE codes, and that workshop is going ahead. But I just want to say that the fact that many of those prerequisites are license conditions means all of the industry players must act and deliver, and that gets monitored in terms of the license conditions that provinces allocate. The last thing I think I want to just I want to concur with the members that talked about the National Responsible Gambling Program, because we as the National Gambling Board do serve and as the secretariat and as a, I almost want to say a indirect, as a relationship, because remember it's part of the mandate of delivery to monitor particularly the negative consequences of gambling. And so the National Responsible Gaming Program, we believe all of the research indicates that if you look at the countries such as South Africa, that the lotto is one of the key contributors to problem gambling and some of the statistics. And it really affects the vulnerable, and that they should contribute to, they should make a contribution to the work of the National Responsible Gaming Program, which includes education, awareness, as well as research and treatment. So, you know, those four legs currently is funded in terms, again, with the license conditions. It started off voluntary by the industry players, but it's now in most of the provinces in the license conditions to make that contribution. But I want to state that it's critical that the lotto do contribute so that we have a national agenda on how we treat responsible gambling and how we address it and how we treat it and how we research this matter. Because we can't say, please don't take the responses from lotto, because if the public says that's part of the reason why we have problems, then that's clear. And so therefore I want to concur that the lotto should be mandated to contribute to the responsible gaming program. I think just to say on the last matter, obviously online is a debate, just to say that I think we are awaiting obviously the guidance from Parliament on this matter, but just to say that we've been very closely working with the European Union, and you know the European Union was, and they in themselves have got a number of independent countries, the European Union working together, and some very successful both regulation and ensuring that there's not flowing over income that belongs to one and how you monitor particularly online gambling. And then we are watching, if you note that over the years, the USA has been very firmly against online gambling, but they have now just regulated it, and some of the states have legalized online gambling. So I just want to say that we are, as a national body for gambling in the country, are monitoring and learning, and we work and we agree some of the consultations with all of the various role players around monitoring and implementing, such as banking council as well as your police and all of the other things around it. So I think I just wanted to make those inputs up front. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Next one.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members. I find it very encouraging that the issues that I've heard raised here now are exactly the issues which have been concerning us for a number of years. And particularly, Honourable Member Van Lingen, you've hit the nail on the head with a number of those issues. But particularly what we're concerned with at the moment is the informal gambling sector and reaching those people in the informal gambling sector who do develop problems. We need to find a way of getting into that industry and either shutting it down or solving the issues that are arising from it. Concerning the lottery, absolutely, we would like them to contribute. They do exempt themselves by saying they have their own program, but it's not something that we've really seen much of. So, yeah, we would like to see them contribute. We are helping problem gamblers who have come from the lottery markets, so you know it's not that we're shutting a door to them. So yeah, it would be nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question that I'd like to raise, and that is the chairman of the National Gambling Board referred to the moratorium on EBTs, which is true. What is the legal status of that moratorium? Firstly, in other words, if a province would start rolling out EBTs and licensing bingo halls with EBTs, what can or will the department or the National Gambling Board do about it? I'd just like to know. Thank you.
Hi there. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. I just thought I'd like to introduce myself and why I am present and interested in the development here. We are a online bookmaker that's licensed in the Western Cape. We were the first licensee to not have a retail outlet, so we don't offer a walk-in facility for our customers. We only take our bets over the internet via the website that's licensed. So we feel we have quite a good understanding of working in the online environment while still being a licensed entity and a licensed bookmaker who works closely with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, and we engage frequently with the National Gambling Board. What we would like to understand, or why I'm present, is when this online gambling bill becomes legislated, or when it comes into effect, where does that put us as an operation? We operate only in the online environment, using technical standards that are drafted for gambling in the online environment. We license as an online bookmaker, but what we need to realize is in the online environment, your competition is just a simple mouse click away. And I don't just mean competition locally, with local casinos and local licensed poker rooms, but there's a lot of foreign operators that market to our citizens of the country, and they don't pay tax, they're not licensed locally. And as a licensed entity, we'd like to see our regulators engaging or assisting us in blocking that. There are numerous ways, and I could get into that if anyone's interested. But just as a real-life example, we received a letter from the French, the DUCO, or I can't pronounce their name, their equivalent of their gambling licensing body, and they asked us to ensure that our domain doesn't target French citizens. And it was simply a letter from a French government organization that they sent to us, and we complied. We don't. So I would feel the same would be if we could do that to foreign operators targeting our citizens. I'm sure, as most of these are big listed licensed companies, they listed on the London Stock Exchange and on various markets. The industry wants regulation, and they want to abide by regulation, but we also want some, because we invest so much time and money into it, we'd like some backing from our regulators and assistance with our regulators. I think the last point, just to touch on with online gambling and the concerns around targeting the vulnerable, we don't really find those people in our environment. We go after the recreational user, the person at the pub who is having a chat with his friend, and the one guy wants the Sharks to win, the other's on Western Province, and it's a social quick bet. It's not the regular customers. I would say 80% of our database is those recreational users. So we're not also that, just because of, by definition, the internet isn't easily accessible to those who aren't able to afford to spend that or money they don't have. You need to have credit cards. You need to be able to transact via either a smartphone or an access to the internet. So there are, amongst many others, certain barriers to entry for those vulnerable and persons that you need to look after. I think that addresses most of my concerns about the online gambling environment in South Africa at the moment.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I just want to, because of my experience as having been part of the Gambling Review Commission, maybe highlight a few sections which I think might be able to assist the committee. Firstly, the horse and hound, the difference between a horse and hound. I think for us, when we were drafting this document, we struggled over the issue of overbreeding when it comes to greyhounds. We had visited other international bodies who regulate greyhound racing, but none of them could satisfy us that the concerns raised by the SPCA and other such bodies who are concerned with animal rights were addressed during the breeding aspect. So I think you can quite well regulate and manage the actual racing itself, or once a hound is in the been tagged as a racing hound, but no one knows what happens with the breeding. So whilst a dog can breed 12 puppies, a horse can only produce one foal. And many of those puppies will never ever make it into a racing greyhound, and that's where the actual concern was from many of the animal rights organizations, because these animals are just are tortured. Just, you know, I mean, we were inundated with pictures from all around the world, which were quite horrific. And when we posed the questions to regulators in other jurisdictions, none of them could satisfy us that they could monitor and protect those animals in terms of the breeding. So for me, that was a major distinction, apart from the obvious physical differences. The other issue in relation to online gambling, I think, I'm speaking from my personally, and it's something that's been very long in the making, and my biggest concern is that our jurisdiction is not providing sufficient protection to players who are engaging in this industry. Not only that, but it's also quite confusing as to what is regulated and what isn't regulated, because there are forms of online gambling that are regulated. And for a punter, I think this is quite dangerous and confusing. I agree that regulating online gambling is difficult, but it's not impossible. Most jurisdictions in the world have realized that they need to do this, and have managed to successfully do it. I think the best way to try and regulate it is to provide sufficient regulated license opportunities within the country, so that South African citizens will choose a regulated license operator where they know if they place a bet and they win or lose, that they have an authority that they can challenge. They can go to the regulator who's in their own country, and manage to take that up, which I think will prevent them from going to unlicensed sites. I agree that we need to provide security for licensees who are licensed in the country from foreign operators. And the best way to do that is to provide a licensing framework which enables that, which we currently do not have. Those are my key concerns. I think the fundamental one is protection of the punter, which we at the moment are not providing. And that's not, the Act is based on one of the fundamental components of the Act is to provide protection for the punter. I think in terms of monitoring and policing, once you have regulated operators, the regulated operators invest money. They are constantly monitored. They have full trails and auditing mechanisms which can be introduced. And for them to take a chance and do anything that's illegal is going to be a huge risk. So, it's unlikely that a regulated operator will do something inappropriate or illegal, because it places the entire license at risk. And that's the one way to regulate, is to provide the carrots to operators. And you find that's how gambling is currently working as a regulated industry, because those operators, whether they are casinos, limited payout machine operators, or bingo operators, or bookmakers, are regulated, and they won't risk their licenses that they've invested money in to allow any illegal activity. In terms of online gambling framework, every single action by a customer is and can be audited. It's all tracked. So, you can monitor this quite effectively, far easier than you would a person walking into a casino or a bookmaker, it's far easier, I think, in terms of tracing where the money is coming from, what the amounts are being bet on, what is the profile of the punter. That information is always logged. So, it is difficult to get around it in terms of our minds and how we view regulation of online activity, but I don't believe it's impossible.
just on your last point, monitored by who, this person who's a gambler, you know, with the profile. That's where SAPS comes in, you know. It could be someone independent, not SAPS monitor, but SAPS as the responsible authority in the country wants to chip in.
When I was referring to monitored, firstly, and I think, you know, you can look at the online bookmakers as an example, all the actions taken by Panta, so when you register to play on in terms of place a bet, it's all recorded, and that information is shared with the provincial gambling regulator. It's accessible by the National Gambling Board, and if there is any irregular activity, that activity can be sent to SAP. So I wasn't really imagining a situation where SAP monitors all of these activities. It's usually the case where there's something that's irregular or an illicit transaction that's taking place. But you can see that. So that's what I mean by it is always monitored. And all of this information can be stored. So you can go back 5 years from now and trace the activities of a punter at any given time.
That's fine. I'm going to give you an opportunity, but I want to welcome this guru, McDonald, who will explain some of the things. I'm sure you have received a draft, you know, of our committee. It doesn't start on the first page. It's an introduction. We have some input, and we have added a few. So you'll be getting this after this meeting. So we're just done. We maybe made our submissions, and we just wanted somebody to breathe and comment on these issues. Then I'll come to you after. Then you can comment, and then after that we'll go to Mr. Hennity.
Just to carry on with what Adira was saying, I wanted to be able to provide a real working example of where compliance or how it's currently dealt with. As a licensed bookmaker, we are known as an accountable institution with the FRC. We mandated to ensure all our customers are KYC'd, so we go through all those processes. What happened recently, or not too recently, probably about 3 months ago, is we noticed what Speaker refers to as a suspicious transaction. We had a customer who was registered and living in the Western Cape, but all these transactions started happening for various amounts that were outside what his regular pattern was. And the credit card was coming from we could trace it because we are on RP, and on the internet, and there's RP technology services. We were able to see that the transaction was happening in Joburg, then it was happening in Durban a few minutes later. So we had realized that firstly, we had the technology to be able to track where these transactions were happening from. We collated all the information, and we were able to provide it to FICA as a suspicious transaction. ABSA got hold of us later and asked us for further details, because eventually that customer said, hey, my card's been taken, and we've noticed a lot of funny things going on with it. So there is technology. Whilst it's scary at first to embrace it, there's a lot of benefits that come with technology and eventually taking that step. And what we're trying to say as licensed bookmakers or licensed players in that online environment is, we're not going to run ahead. We'd like to walk with you regulators and assist you along the way. We committed South African companies who want to see this flourish locally, not from overseas people.
Thanks for assisting us. We'll have our defense of a lost card. If I'm making another transaction, my defense is I lost my card, and I was about to report. McDonald.
No, thanks, Chair and honorable members. I'm sorry that I'm technically late. I have been hovering around. There are no parkings. I have to go back to the hotel and repark. Sorry about that. Thanks.
You just
say you couldn't
land.
Yes, yes. No, unfortunately, even the gambling, I understand, is the same thing. They are trapped somewhere. But anyway, thanks a lot. As we discussed previously on the 13th of March, is that the DTI in the main would like to be advised. We have some prejudice. In other words, we have some views personally, but we would like not to abnormally influence the discussion. And then, therefore, we would like to have the report. As the chair has said, that this is a draft. We'll go through it, read together with our prejudices, and then read together with the portfolio committee's one, and then we will move to formulating a policy. So generally, on the issue that was being said on the online gambling, generally, is that previously we agreed to say regulation can be put in place, but it needs a concerted effort from the DTI, like in the domain name, like finance department, through the regulation of the banks, like FICA issues that are mentioned, through the Department of Communication, who have already said that they are putting infrastructure, the inspectorate, the issue of cyber space, cloning of issues, all those things should be put in place. So it's a mammoth task. It's not as simple as it is described, but we are saying we cannot sit around while the world is moving. We need to regulate. It will be difficult, but it can be done. That's all what I can say in the area of online gambling. And then therefore, education and awareness and monitoring should be emphasized, because previously we said if there is no monitoring of things that are going through these electronic gadgets, people who are running these gadgets, they claim that they don't know what is passing through. But the inspectorate through the DOC and SAPS, now we would like to put systems in place and we monitor what is going through. And then probably the issue of saying the lost card and the like, it can be dealt with effectively. So I don't want to go through the report per se, but I have gone through it, and I don't want to recite it again. So we will consider it as a department, together with other documentations, in particular from your counterpart, the portfolio committee. So that's all that I can say. And sorry about that. I'm late. Thanks.
Thanks about your being delayed. There's a decision that we took, which you must honor. We are the majority here that will take everybody to lunch today. Any other comment on this? I think Honorable Sinclair.
Okay. I must say it's the first time that I hear the excuse that I'm technically late. Was it technically or practically? Chairperson, what I want to ask Mr. Tenze, what is the next step? It's now fine and well to say that we are awaiting the paper and the report, but what then? I think the industry wants to know what is the next step.
No, thanks, Chair. The next step is that there is a report. This report will be sort of from our side consolidated together with the one of the portfolio committee. And we go through what Parliament is saying, your Parliament, the two. And then thereafter, we analyze that report. And then we may, as a department, come back to you maybe if certain issues are not clear for clarity purposes. But in the main, the next step is to produce a policy. We need to produce a policy based on the report. And then the policy should lead to a legislation, which is a bill. We must draft a bill based on that policy. And then generally we don't go into developing regulations before coming to Parliament again. We have to come to Parliament through the cabinet process again, cabinet saying introduce the bill to Parliament, portfolio committee, to this committee again. And then thereafter, when the bill is finalized, if it is to be implemented through regulations, we again embark on the regulation drafting. And then, regulations, as you may know, generally they don't come back to portfolio committee or to yourself, to the Honorable House, but generally, again, we have to come to you, to the Honorable Houses, the two, to say the regulations that are enabled in terms of a bill, that bill that we approved, here are they, and then can you look at them, and then later they can be approved. But some people say it's a courtesy, but I think it is understandable that since the enabling legislation was passed here, it should come back again, although it's not a legal requirement, but we have been doing that. So that is the next step, in short.
See, Chairperson, that's exactly the which I believe is the end result of the intention of the gambling review, is to create a legislative environment where many of the issues that's been raised here can be addressed. Now, if I listen to Mr. Tenzer, it's a long and cumbersome process. You know, government goes very slowly. And the issues that's been raised here in terms of the immediate need, you know, the industry out there wants things to happen now. Now the critical question is, and it's maybe directed to the officials and to the gambling board, is it necessary to create new legislation, or can we just amend the old legislation?
No, thanks. Unfortunately, government is a big wheel. It runs slowly. But the end result is very satisfactory. Because I mean...
Not always.
Because...
Are you happy with the speed?
No, generally it runs slowly. I concede that it may not be favorable, but all the consultations that have been done up to so far will be repeated again during the public hearings of the portfolio committee. It will be sort of boring, but we want to come with an overhaul of the whole industry. It's not only online. It's not only online. There are a lot of issues. Maybe you have dealt with any issues of animal welfare. There is another issue that is very worrying. That is approached. The provinces are approaching certain issues here differently, and then we have through the policy council to say, don't do anything. Let there be a moratorium until this report is finalized, until when we go to legislative drafting, and then we overhaul the entire system, because things are not rosy. So industry, I know, they would like to nibble and say, let's do first here. In our view, we cannot come with a piecemeal amendments again. This report wants to overhaul the entire industry. So we will have to wait and follow that process. That is the mandate that we have, that we are no longer doing piecemeal amendments. Thanks.
I know, on another Van Lingang, I want to give Honorable Adams a chance because I'll have to attend to another issue of national importance. And when he's chairing, he might not have an opportunity. So, Honorable Adams.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. Sorry that I'm late, Chair. I also have to attend to an issue of national importance. And I hereby send my apology to the House and to the Chairperson of the National Gambling Board and to yourself and to the members that I'm late. But I'm not going to go into details why I'm late because that will take another hour, Chair. Chair, no, I'm just worried about one thing is that the animal welfare or the breeders of the greyhounds already are starting to make noise to say that to regulate the industry and to stop and to curtail or curfew the breeding, it's gonna add to the loss of jobs. Because the breeding greyhound is a special skill. You have to breed the proper greyhound dogs to and the right bloodlines, yeah. Because in the UK, it's one of the fastest growing job creations as well, breeding of greyhounds. So we should just be very, very careful about how we put it into regulations, how we go about it so that we don't lose jobs, because it's been found that it can also, the man living in Manenberg or the man living in El Dorado Park, or the guy living in Koha municipality can also, once we get the proper bloodlines of greyhounds, can also breed with the right environment, breed these greyhounds. So I think, I don't know whether the UK model has been studied or looked at, because they've also made an amendment to their model now as well. Chair, then the other thing, the online gambling. You know, it's quite strange that the Friends has stopped to say that please don't go to our nationality. But, I mean, France are also impacting in South Africa. You get the jewelers, the Eiffel Tower, there's operations from within that center. So we can't be told as South Africans don't venture into or don't go to our nationals, but they want to come into us and venture into our nationals. You know, the internet is very easy to access with all these scams. I mean, I was quite astounded to see the old BlackBerry, 8520 or something to that effect, has access to the internet, access to gambling. And today you see people walking in the street, people sitting in the parks and all that, and doing these gambling type of things. So that's an issue that's very, very worrying. You hardly see, I mean, these sports pubs like, or betting places like M&M and all that, which is a one-stop betting place at the moment. They do the online, they do everything, even the lotto, the whole lot has been run through there, and those places are frequent, and they are open till very late. I spoke to the MEC in the Western Cape the other day, and I said, last week in actual fact, and I said to him that we should regulate the closing times and the opening times of these days. Well, these guys are open 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night. And it's forever packed to capacity. So my worrying point is, when do these people sleep? When do they look after their family? You know, the biggest worrying point is their families. And if we can really regulate the online, and specifically regulate the internet gambling, that is really, it will be great, because even at schools, kids are sitting with the devices and gamble through the internet at schools. Oh, I'm now in the chair. Sorry, I didn't know. I was just saying I'm handing over to you, Chair. Okay, Honorable Vallingen.
Chairperson, I'm absolutely... DG, I'm absolutely shattered. DDG, sorry, but I was giving you a good status. So I treated you with respect. I am totally shocked to see or to hear that this is going to be a long process. We are dealing with business, and things need to work. And the longer we wait, and the longer we play that government takes a long time and the processes takes a long time, to me, is a sign of the lack of political will. As you see, even this thing is objecting to my attitude. It is, and you're not listening to me, excuse me, sir. We need to, I know that you have a feeling perhaps, or we often get the feeling that the governmental staff, the officials, say, all right, but by the end of 2014, the end of May 2014, you might not be here to put pressure on us. The point is, you have a job and we have to deliver. And we've got to do what has to be done. I can't see that you can take X amount of months to work through the three reports, the original report, the portfolio committee report, and what we have put in front of you, because it shouldn't take that long. This is part of your responsibility, and if you only now going to start bringing the SPCA in and that sort of thing, I'm horrified, because they should have been on board already. It's time for multitasking to get the job done. And I really beg of you that we make a move and make a success of this, and you actually show that the DTI is open for business and that it can happen very quickly. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I thought maybe I was not going to participate, but from the look of things and what has been presented and from where we've started, it's clear that we have to follow what was said by Honorable Sinke when we started, that we must not lose focus about the rationale of why we are involved in this process. Once we deal with the rationale behind this process, then we are going to be able to understand everything. And Honorable Van Dingen, I agree with the approach of not doing piecemeal of this thing, because in the foreseeable future, it might be next year, if we're going to do a shortcut, it's going to haunt us, it's going to be a problem. So let us be fair to the process. Let me use an example of the portfolio committee. They've been all over the show in the country, having the people coming, making some input, and they develop a very big, thick document, and it was we had access to that document, and we had our own process, even though it was not as quite intensive as the one of the portfolio committee. But it was clear that immediately after going through what they've done, we came with some of the recommendations that were a little bit different to what they were recommending. So just imagine if we are going to do a shortcut, we are going to create problems. Let's allow the process of due diligence, and it will assist us that once and for all, we are going to have an industry that will be regulated, and some of the things that are a problem now might be attended to. But if we are going to have a shortcut, it's not going to assist either of us. We are still going to come back and complain, because even now, when we introduce ourselves, I said I'm Jongo Nyambi, I'm from Mpumalanga province. And I'll be honest and say I've never been to a situation where it was taken to a situation where I can safely say this is a reflection of the interests of the province that I'm representing. And when somebody was speaking on behalf of the DTI before you came in, DG, he dealt with the issue of MINMEC. And I remember in the past when we were dealing with the very same issue of MINMEC, it was raised as a problem because it has got an impact on how some of these provinces are generating their own income, and you'll find that they are not even going to be able to correct, because if ever they feel that it's going to impact negatively on what they are doing, they are not going to attend that MINMEC. It's a challenge, and that is a reality. So we have to come with a policy that is going to even address those particular issues. So that is why I'm saying we have nothing to lose. if we are going to do justice to the process. Thanks, Chairperson, that's my submission.
Honorable Bihari.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. Actually, thank you to Nyambi because he managed to cover what I was going to say. But to add on it is that DDG do what is right. No shortcut, follow the right procedure. Otherwise, you'll end up rehabilitating everybody, including the members of parliament. Thank you.
Okay, honorable members and chief director, sorry that I've given the members the wrong information. We don't want the DG to come down on us. But we, you can tell him, Sharots must convey the message that the committee has promoted you, and you need to be promoted to DDG, chief director. Honorable members, I think we need to close this process and move on, because this process is still going to take a time. And when the joint tagging mechanism tags this bill, I think it will be tagged as a 76, because with the involvement of MINMEX and all that, and it's got provincial competency. So after that, there will still be consultations and engagement, each one of us sitting around the table here as members of the National Council of Provinces and members of Parliament, we'll have to go back to our respective provincial legislatures, where the provincial legislatures will also engage, will hold public hearings as per the Constitutional Court and as per the Constitution. So each, there will still be a lot of consultations. But the worrying factor, you know, Parliament is rising. Maybe next year, this time, Parliament would have risen already. I foresee, as previously, that it will only be the State of the Nation address next year and the budget and the committee.
And the gambling bill.
No, wait. The ministerial APPs will then be handled, departmental APPs will then be handled in that short space of time. So, but this is a very serious matter, because moving in times with technology, we need to protect the vulnerable, kids, those that can't afford. You know, if you go to casinos, specifically in PE and all those that can't afford, that lives in the RDP houses, are the first ones that at the casinos, that gambles. And those types. But you need to protect, because Shabins can also get licensed. They go and apply as taverns, and they get licensed taverns, and once they get onto this, as the chairperson has said, Honorable Falingan, is that they're entitled for 5 machines. So there they also gamble their money away. So we need to move with utmost speed also, with caution and utmost speed, as we don't want the process that can go, that will go to the Constitutional Court, be thrown out, and it will have to come back again, Chief Director and Chairperson. So the committee will await further reports and deliberations from your side. As you hear that the honorable members are quite equipped and well equipped with what's happening. I don't know how many of them are visiting casinos and that, but I don't know if it's allowed, the member of the Ethics Committee, is it allowed that members of Parliament can show to casinos and do online gambling, Honorable Sinclair? It's not allowed. It's not parliamentary, eh? Okay, but we need, Chief Director, if possible, if we can have a proper thing in place before November, it will assist not just only the captains of the industry, but it will assist also the man, the woman, the child out in the streets of South Africa. It will assist us tremendously. If we can have something in place in terms of internet gambling where we can regulate them, where we can say, but, sorry, under 18, or, sorry, you're under debt review, you're not allowed to gamble. If we can have that type of things in place, even with the hound and the horse, which it was said you can't eat both. That's the difference between the two of them, is that you can't eat both. Am I right?
But people are eating wolf meat. but even in between that and what the Honorable Nyambe said also, it will help us, because we need to take this to the rural of the rural areas, to go and explain. It's part of our job, our duty. And we expect you also to reach out and do that. But we need all inputs from captains of industry in this regard. We can't leave one sector out. Because if one sector goes to the Constitutional Court, one sector of the industry, if one sector goes to the Constitutional Court and says, but I haven't been given a chance, the bill will be thrown out, Chief Director. And we don't need that. We need to get this thing in place. So I would expect you and the National Gambling Board and all the captains of industry around here to not take holidays or just spend a little leisure time and all that, or even if you go overseas or on a yacht or on a cruise ship, take this with you and work through it so that we can have the proper thing, hopefully, before this parliament, the fourth parliament arrives. Because if the fourth parliament rises and this thing is not being implemented, you know what will happen? It will lapse. And then it will be reinvented again in the fifth parliament. It will take another 3 years before it's then in the ground. And we don't want that. Chief Director, anything from members? Are you fine, Honorable Sinclair?
Just the one critical question that I ask. Is it necessary for new legislation, or can we amend the current legislation?
Just make a note on that, Chief Director and official. Let's take the Honorable Nguni.
No, Chief.
Honorable Dikhali?
No.
Okay, Honorable Nyambi?
No, I'm fine, Chief.
Is your answer on that?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, you're fine, okay. Honorable Flamingan?
I'm busy with the draft on the amendment.
I'm worried that you sent Ellen Zeller an email to ask if it's fine, but if you're happy.
No, I'm saying I'm amending the act.
Okay, great. Chief Director?
No, thanks. I would like to not to misrepresent. I'm a Chief Director, as the chairperson is saying. But I would like to promote it, but not at the expense of anything. Thanks. Is it Honorable Funding? And I'm sorry. Yes. When the Honorable Member said, I'm not listening, sorry, I was listening. I just wanted a date when the Portfolio Committee finalized the report. And then I got the date. It was on the 12th of March 2012. The issue why I'm looking for the date was to put things on my performance agreement that I will do 1, 2, 3. So really this matter, it is on my performance agreement of the previous year where I committed that I will deliver a policy and a bill. But I was told that I failed dismally now. Why? Because I could not go ahead before this honorable committee has deliberated on the WhatCom on this issue. So I was running with speed. We did that with the credit amendment bill. It is now on in cabinet so that it should not come after elections. And then also on the lotteries, we did that. And then the third one, I've forgotten. So we were moving with speed, but we could not do that on this one. So, but I think you put it politically correct. Very political person, you summarize the issue politically correct without emotions from my side. We will try what we can do. But yes, we will try what we can do. We have already failed to deliver on this issue. We wanted to run. So I think that's all what I can say, but we'll take all the issues that are raised. Is it possible to do amendments without coming with an overhaul policy? Again, by reverse engineering, we will talk to our principal, who are not keen to do piecemeal amendments. So Yes, I'm in a hard rock and a very difficult situation, but I can be recorded that we'll try our best, but yeah, we'll do our best. So can we leave the matter there? Thanks.
Okay. Well, thanks, Chief Director. Look, the point is that I don't think you have failed, because, you know, government, as you have directly said, government is a huge, huge, huge operation. Sometimes the wheels are turning fast and sometimes the wheels are turning slow. And as the drafters and sometimes as the implementers of the drafters that other, the implementers of those that others have drafted, it's difficult, frustrating sometimes. Because in this instance, we can't take amendments until there's no policy. So we need the policies first, and then we need the amendments. And the policies can only be approved by Cabinet. That's the only place that can approve policies. Then it comes to us, then we include amendments and all that. That's why it's called amendment bill then. And it's been included, amendments have been included. So I think, let me be frank and honest, I think you guys did a wonderful job in this regard. Somewhere above you, it got stuck. And that is where we should clear out these issues with the boys, the men and the women above you. That club, we need to sort out that chartered club above you in terms of. But I think, let me just give the chairperson of the gambling board a minute, and then we'll go off this issue. Ma'am?
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. And as you can hear, that we obviously will do what we must do. I think there's a number of questions that have been raised to the National Gambling Board. We obviously function within the framework of the Act and would want to implement it as far as possible and act around it. So I think the matter of we really want in the interim policy council to be quorate, so that matters that are critical in the interim at least we can resolve together. In the interests of the country. So there are a number of matters we think that can be addressed at such a forum if it's quorated until the other wheels of parliament happens. So I think I just want to say that our plea to you is that we want those instruments of the state to function and be quorated so that we can do what we must do. Thank you.
Well, thank you also to the captains of industry and those sectors that's involved in this. You know, we need, as they said, partnership participation. If we don't have the partnership participation, then I don't think we will put a proper piece of legislation on the table. And that's why it's important that we need your inputs, that we need your guidance, and that we need to hear what you are saying so that we can put it into policy, make it into law, and implement what you think is necessary for us as the lawmakers to implement. And that's why we need that partnership. Seriously, we can't be without partnership. You are all looking wonderful, fresh, young, competent, energetic, and that. So we need that partnership. You know, sometimes a person asked me one day, why do people have silver and gray hair? So I said, no, it's just to differentiate, not the age, but just to beautify that person and that. So it's not to say that people with white and gray are old. No, they're more energetic, I think, than us as bolder people, Honorable Nyambi Nunguni. But we need that partnership, honestly. And we would request you, please, to work closely with one another, as well as with the department, so that when they bring this to us, if they bring this to us, that we know that there is a piece of work that has been done through all sectors of the industry, not just one or two or three sectors, but to all sectors of the industry. So, Chief Director, with that, and captains of the industry, chairperson, their reprint will be the report, yeah, will be reissued. Okay, the report will be revised with today's comment. and it will be submitted to your department. And as you said, in conjunction with the LA's report, we will then look at it. But please, if that report has been, if you get that report also from the NA, can I then make a plea that you make that report available to the captains of industry in this room? Please, they must have the report. If not, come back to this committee and tell us that you didn't get the report. We will then summon him from Pretoria. Even if it's, we have to put him on a spaceship to be here on time, we will do that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, Chairperson, Chief Director, and the Captains of Industry. Thank you very much, and we hope to see each other very much sooner so that we can have much more fruitful engagements into this. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we've got one issue that we need to do, and that is the minutes. We'll just give our guest about a minute or so to leave the room so that we can carry on in the meantime while they are busy packing up. If we can go through the minutes so that we can then adopt it. Thank you, ma'am. All the best. Members, we've got 12 pieces of minutes here in front of us. Mr. Erasmus, can you just close the door, please? Draft one. Oh, we have to wait for Honorable Van Lingen before we can proceed to these five provinces. Okay, colleagues, we've got draft one, that is the 6th of June, 2012. That was a briefing by Tourism South Africa on the strategic plan 2012-17. Just hold on, Mr. Erasmus, let me, otherwise now I see that the Honourable St. Clair's attention is somewhere else.
I asked one point this
morning. Just hold on, Mr. Erasmus, until we're done. Members, can I put draft one? Draft one, are there any corrections?
I want to propose that we accept it.
Okay, Honorable St. Clair accept, and Honorable Nyambi
Second. Thank you, members. Draft 2.
I wanted to go on record that for the first time in 2015, I'm seconded on a
No, that's wonderful. That is great, great colleagues. So there could be a political realignment between one of the two of them. Members, 20th of June, consideration and adoption of draft third committee report. Can I have a acceptor and a seconder? Honorable Gihali accepts. Second by Honorable Nyambi. Fourth draft 3, 14th August.
It's now good and well that we accept all those wonderful minutes and so on, which is necessary, but what happened with the issues inside the context? There's certain of these issues. For instance, we take a decision to say, like this draft too, that they will importance of a joint study tour with public, with a PC on trade and in industry. But nothing of those things ever materialized. For instance, request in terms of specific urgencies in our constituencies. It's a generic question on many of the issues, but it's about the minutes that we accept. And then after we've accepted it, I mean, nothing happens.
Yeah, Chair, I think the minutes are a reflection of what we discussed previously. Then it's up to us to make a follow-up on those minutes, to take a decision on those minutes. So we just approved that we did say this, but whether are we going to follow that up? Really, that's the committee to do that we make those follow-up.
Okay. Now it's what they call in other minutes matters arising.
Yeah, I agree with both of them. We were not, it's not a continuation of the previous meeting, but at the same time we have to have a way of how we make sure that we make a follow-up in some of the outstanding issues. So now it's just to agree that it's part of what we have discussed.
I think honorable members, that you know, we should, When we draw up our programs, I think that is where committee programs should also inform us about what was the issues taken out of the minutes, so that we can also do oversight over that issues being discussed in meetings, and not just all the time reinvent new issues. That is very important about how and what we do, like the Honorable Sinclair has raised and the Honorable Nyambi, and the Honorable Nguni. For argument's sake, if we look at the Kenya trip, look, the Kenya trip was, what do they call that, has not been approved, and that, but also on this tourism thing, I think there was something that was said last year that okay. So what we'll need to do, the secretariat and the management, the secretariat, the content advisor and the researcher, they will have to go through this minute after we've adopted and accepted it now. Sorry, Mati? They will have to go and after we've adopted and accepted it, go through each minute, take out those necessary issues, those issues that were raised in the minute and that were not given attention to.
They will have to do that so that they can make it part of the committee program to say these were the issues that were not attended to, bring it before the members so that we can then, in the management committee, to say, no, look, that is a critical issue, that is, you know, and differentiate between those issues. For argument's sake, there's the Northern Cape visit, which we have also said, but that was then said that because of taking Parliament to the Northern Cape, would have then postponed that. But okay, we are now on draft three. Draft three, members, Honourable Sinclair, is that fine with you?
Yeah, fine.
Thank you. Honourable Nyambe Nunguni, is that fine with you too as well?
Yes.
Okay, great, thanks. Draft three, 14th August. That was the high impact of the norm on the domestic tourism. This is wrong. I think the agenda briefing is wrong. This was in terms of the credits. Nah? National credits. Okay, you must just rectify that. Can I have a second, a mover for that? Honorable Nguni moves. Honorable Nyambi second, because Honorable Dikhali and Sinclair, they were not here.
Yeah.
And I wonder where they were. Both of them were absent. Both of them were absent. Draft four. That was on the 8th of August. That is the ratification of the agreement between the Government of the Republic South Africa and the Government of the Republic of Cuba on economic assistance. Honorable Nyambi moves. Honorable Dikhali seconds. Draft 5, 29th of August. How were so many of us absent? But draft 5, that is the 29th of August. Africa Tourism and Tourism Grading Council. Compliance to Universal Access. But no man. Alright, okay. Honorable Dikhali moves. Honorable Mguni second. At draft 6. Briefing by the Tourism Grading Council. Honorable Nyambi moves. Seconded, Honorable Dikhali. Draft 7, 12th September, that's the National Lottery Board. Honorable Nyambi moves, Honorable Dikhali seconded. Thank you. Draft 8, 19th September, Economic Diplomacy Strategy Framework. Turco, where they gave you that nice boxes, Honorable Dikhali moves, and Honorable Mguni second. Draft 9, ratification on the second revision of the EU-ACT Cotonou Partnership Agreement. That was on the 5th of November in DR. Honorable Mguni moves, and Honorable Nyambi second. That was Honorable Sinclair's backyard. Oh, no, he was present. Okay. Mama?
Can I ask if it's just to go and register? Because normally when we go in, we can't do that for the
But you were in the R, weren't you? Taking Parliament to the people
what?
Last year. No, since
yeah.
Was,
I'm
huh?
No,
no, but you were in the army.
Yes.
Yeah. So why is she not recorded? Honorable Bihali. So with that ratification, Honorable Bihali. And then on the 28th of November, Honorable Nyambe and Bihali were already starting to prepare for Christmas. They were not in the meeting. That is the Cooperatives Amendment Bill. Honorable Mguni moves and Honorable Sinclair seconds. Thank you very much. Draft. Draft 11. 13th of February 2013. Honorable Nyambi was still on the Christmas shopping spree. In Angola. Okay. But the suits are cheap in Angola. Very quality suits in Angola. Even Honorable Maina went to buy. Honorable Dihali moves and Honorable Nguni seconds. Then we've got the last one is draft 12. The 20th of February, that was the new year, and that is agreement of the Annex 4 and Annex 6 of the Trade, Development and Cooperation between the Republic of South Africa and the European Community, the chief agreement. Honorable Van Lingen's favorite. Honorable Mguni moves, seconded by Honorable Sinclair.
Cheese.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. That then takes care of that. There is...
today? No, man, I'm just joking. Did you want to get a shop?
No. Announcement, Honorable Sinclair.
I've got a serious issue. There's a member that doesn't attend this committee. And sometimes there's apologies and other times there's no apologies. And certainly in terms of the rules of the committee, there must be certain directives in terms of how you deal with a member like that. What is your guidance on that matter, Chair?
The chairperson should write to the chief whip a letter on the absence of the member, because it is affecting in actual fact the work of the committee. In actual fact, I spoke to the chief whip about it and in terms of economic development, because you know it's got an effect on both committees. And she said we must write a letter, which I'm going to speak to Honorable Gamere as from both committees. And this person is quite a key critical person, if we are referring to the same person.
Are we not talking about the work?
Well,
he didn't
mention names.
We didn't mention a name. I said the work.
So
why does the committee operate without the work?
But let me find out from Honorable Sinclair if it's the same person. Don't...
yes, Chairperson, I'm speaking about the Honorable Member from Northwest, which is very easily available for overseas visits and visits to other places, but the primary function of members is to sit in this committee. So, I'm not speaking behind his back, Chairperson. Whenever I'll see him, I'll tell him that I've raised the matter. But I honestly believe that it's not acceptable.
We will definitely send the letter to the chief of as well, Chairperson, to say that the conduct is not very much satisfactory of the member. Announcements, Mr. Becker?
Thank you, Chairperson.
I've got two announcements to make. The first one is about the presence from CEDA. I can see Honorable Sinclair has got his, I mean, his parcels. Then in the meantime, Martins will distribute to members. And the second one is about the tourism industry. As we are aware that we have received, you know, an invitation from the department about the tourism endeavor that will be taking place from the 11th to the 14th of May, which we have made all the necessary logistical and administrative arrangement. As we speak, the application is in the office of the chief whip. We're just waiting for the final response or the approval thereof. Thank you.
Okay,
but there's 4 members in the solid room now.
Yes, yes,
yes.
All
right. Okay. When is it? 11 to 14th of May.
When?
Honorable Pichali. 1 hour, 4 hours. Just take one. All the members. So then come the members. Well, we've spoke, and next effect, the two committees. The research and content advisor, you still owe us that document that we requested from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that
excuse? Time is running out because I can tell you now after June, July, we won't be able to go. Next week. All right, great stuff. So next week we'll get it. Members, the minister has also agreed that both ministers of energy and mineral resources that we go and look at the shale gas in the state. Just equip the committee on that, and also, you know, to give members a sense of how they do it and those type of things. But also, they have also agreed that we should go to if the state is not suitable for us, because the whips are also going there, then we should go to either Russia, France, and Spain. That's three countries. And Germany.
Is it part of the...
We will make it part of the... Yeah, we did say, eh?
No, I think we're looking USA for the shell.
Just the USA.
And then on the nuclear...
Yeah.
We're looking at France.
France.
Yeah. So we're linking sectors with a particular country.
Okay.
I thought we were going to Russia.
Well, the nuclear river is going to get part of the old infrastructure of South Africa that will be approached.
When is it there?
Well, we're hoping to get it as soon as possible, maybe with the June... before just the end of May, after we finish with the APTs.
Yes, I'm also asking whether we cannot be able to stay when the company was not down for the day.
What
we said? We have taken here in France, but just
leave us. Well, I think they will allow us maybe two countries, Spain and France, but we can do that. Mm. Also, at the head of missions conference, I spoke at length to the ambassador of the state, is also the. Can we have one, please? Man, this is a lot of disturbance. We are looking at the Americans. He also said that as
some of you are at the table when you get America locked down, so if we can get this thing that first week in June, end of May, first week in June.
Next week, will there be a meeting next week, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
No.
GDP. Yeah.
Economic.
Yeah. Tuesday, it's economic development budget model. An annual performance plan.
Okay, I'm just saying, I anticipate not to feel too well next week.
I don't know about the name.